want to ask you, before we do anything else, I want to invite you to have a memory. If you would take a moment, and it's your memory, but take a moment and find a good memory. You decide what's good, but you know that thing which you feel like. Sometimes we can name those things, but sometimes it's just an emotion, right? So just kind of place yourself in that for just a moment. And in your own way, give thanks. Now, for me, hold on to that. We'll come back to that. For me, one of my memories, I have lots of memories. You have lots of memories. One of my memories was 1985, when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Sorry. In 1985, I was halfway through school. I went to school locally for me and worked, and then I was going off to another school to finish up my my bachelor's degree. And it was the summer, and I had some time off and a little bit of money in my pocket, and so I decided I'm going to go see a movie. So I drove about 40 minutes away and had not really ever seen a movie by myself. Gone with Girls plenty of times, you know, but not by myself. And you know, it's just kind of like going to this movie. And so I got to the town where I was going to see it, and I bought my ticket, and I sat down, and I saw Back to the Future. Y'all remember that? Back to the Future. And it was great. That was a really, really good movie. I was not really expecting it to be so good. And maybe you know the story, but there was the Back to the Future where the main character goes back in time and does a lot of stuff. I'm not going to ruin it for you if you haven't seen it. And then, but does some important stuff for his own life in the midst of all that. And then at the end of the movie, you're thinking like, oh, well, this is the end of the movie, but they kind of set it up for the next movie. Of course, there's got to be a sequel. We got money to make, right? So there was the next movie, which moved into the future, right? And there was things to work out and fix and do. And then the third movie, of course, there's going to be a sequel. By the way, there's a Broadway musical. You know, there was probably like a cartoon or something like that. And I think my brother had a Back to the Future lunchbox, okay? So, he'll love me telling that. So he goes, these characters go back in time. So there's time hopping that happens, and it happens within, at least for most of it, within recent memory of the people that are involved. And I was thinking about that as we were getting ready to talk about the particular scripture passage. Oh, that long, long scripture passage that you read so well. Oh, would you like a nap? You need a cup of coffee and a nap. No, that's a really important passage because it is a remembrance of the Ten Commandments, right? The Big Ten, those things that really are supposed to be the core of who we are as people of faith. And this is actually not the first time. So what you heard read a moment or two ago was the Ten Commandments and reruns. The book itself is from Deuteronomy. The book itself means second giving of the law. All right, it's like, here are the summer reruns to work through. Because it's important. I think we might have missed some things. There is Moses, who is coming. And by the way, this was written long, long after these events would have occurred. the giving of the Ten Commandments. Remember, we talked about Moses last week. Moses hits the burning, he doesn't hit the burning bush, he encounters the burning bush, and the burning bush says, go get my people out of Egypt. And he's like, I don't know if you want me to do that. I don't speak plainly. I'm not the guy. Find somebody else. And the Lord says, I'm going to go with you. I am with you. And so he sends him off into Egypt. There are amazing things that happen. I'm going to skip over a lot of the story so that we can go home at a decent time. But there's a lot there. And if you haven't read it, you should. It's the book of Exodus. And so in Exodus, a lot of things happen, and they find themselves escaping from Israel, escaping from a terrifying death, and carrying a bunch of stuff because they plundered the Egyptians as they're walking out. So they're like seriously long-term camping, and they wind up going into the wilderness, which, you know, geographically is not very far at all, but it takes them 40 years. To make it through. And part of the reason why it took 40 years to make it through is they kept going, well, you don't like it here. This is hard. You know, the Lord, you know, hears their cries for food. He gives them what? Chicken and biscuits, right? Well, that's my version of it. But, you know, there's quail and there's manna, right? Chicken and biscuits. And so the chicken... The quail and the manna sustain them, and they're still like, we don't like it. We're so tired of chicken and biscuits. Choir, why would we have all this chicken and biscuits? And all we have to do is just go and pick it up, right? No, no, we don't like that. And they whine and they complain and they fuss. And really, it's the 40 years it takes to kind of like let some people die. And that's a hard truth. You need to go through an entire, move through an entire generation of folks who have formed what some preachers will call the Back to Egypt Committee. Right? It's a long-standing joke amongst clergy that there are folks that will come back, and churches too, that will, churches, people inside of churches that will go, oh, if it was only like what it used to be in the 19 whatever. We don't do that. I like that. Now, everybody does that, okay? Everybody does that. The thing is that if you remember the 19 whatevers, you had some stuff to do, right? You had to kind of deal with stuff, and you had opportunities in front of you, but it's not like things were just handed to you like chicken and biscuits, right? There was work to do. So here is this progress that is made, and as Moses is coming to kind of a new season, he gathers up the people of Israel. He says, listen, hear, O Israel, and then he tells them the Ten Commandments again. As if to say, and I believe to say, don't forget. Certainly don't forget from where you came from, and don't forget the way in which the door has been opened for you to enter into and do this good work. Don't forget. Now, it is hard to remember some things. Have you noticed this? Anybody remember their entire multiplication tables? Show me your hands. All right, there'll be a test later. Because I don't believe you. I made it to the fives, you know? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. The fours blew my mind, right? Or we were asked, when I was a young person, we were asked to memorize some things, like poetry, you know? Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real. Life is earnest. The grave, it's not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returneth, was not spoken of the soul. I learned that when I didn't have any sense of what those words meant. But I had to have it done by Tuesday. There are some things that get in our minds and that they get locked in there, but you have to work at them. You know, you talk to medical students. Talk to my daughter's a nursing student, and she's learning all the acronyms for the different parts of the body. The hand parts are just like amazing. But you have to learn those things in order to kind of be able to work and function. But you have to do the work. You have to do the work of working and dealing with those memories so they stick with you. This is something, an effect that you see when you look at old pictures. Now, I've seen the old church directory. And some of y'all have different hair. Some of y'all have hair. But there's always that surprise when you go back through or look through your high school yearbook. You know, you go back through and you look at all that and you go, I don't remember that. That's because you haven't lived in that moment for so long. But there are some things that you still had to work through and carry with you, and you did. So Moses is in this place of saying, remember what is important and what is well. And then he gives them the Ten Commandments and says, I want you to remember. Now, do y'all remember the Ten Commandments? You just heard them read to you. Can you, those of you who are showing off your math skills, can you show me your hands if you can remember exactly all the Ten Commandments? Yeah, so this is a problem. When I was in seminary, I had an amazing professor, and she asked these really complex questions. But one of those questions that showed up on, it was a give me. And one of the questions that showed up on a test that she gave us is, list out the Ten Commandments. I spent the most time remembering those commandments, and I still could not get one. And I could not tell you what that commandment was. I was just like, and I worried, like, I'm going to fail out of school, you know. But those commandments, you know, I'm the Lord your God. You'll have no other gods before me. I want you to not create an artificial image of me. I want you to honor your mother and father. I want you to look after who you understand me to be, which Jesus kind of remembers as, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? Did you hear that? By the way, you're going to hear that from me a lot. I'm sorry. You're going to want me to shut up about that. But it's the truth. We are to love God with the fullness of what we have. And Jesus says, and the second one is this, very much like it. It's like you need to love your neighbors as yourself. You look at the last kind of rough half of the Ten Commandments, it's, you know, ways to love your neighbor, right? By not like stealing from him and lying about him and like wanting his lawnmower. Or his wife. Remember these things so that we can live. The whole impact kind of comes in the forms of things that we remember in church life too. Certainly our baptisms. Certainly when we come around to remembering the Passover. For Jewish folks, for Hebrew folks, the Passover is really, really important, and to do it every year and to do it at certain times. Why? Why? So that they can remember, so that we can remember with them, actually, how God delivered them from Egypt and got them into a better place, into the promised land. All right? So Passover is a way to remember. It is looking in the eye of the community that you have right in front of you now, going, don't forget where you came from and what was so hard about that. And then there's communion. The night which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took that Passover meal and said, I want you to remember this too. And he says it. When we have communion in just a moment, those words that I say are part of a rehearsal, a reiteration, a remembrance of what Jesus says. He says what? Do this. They used to write them on the front of altars, right? You probably have been in a church with those words etched into them. Do this in remembrance of me. Came around today to tell you there are some things for us to remember. And that to do that, we have to work at them. I mean, Moses says, I want you to talk to your kids about them. When you're in bed at night, when you're just kind of hanging out, sleeping and stuff like that, just, you know, kind of like, late night sort of talking about things. Talk about these things. When you're with your children, tell them about it. Put it on the doorpost. It's kind of like decorate your house with it. Put them on your body. Put it in your heart. Do the work. Now that memory that I invited you to think through, I'm going to have you kind of use that as part of your homework. Because the thing is that in 1985, as I was getting ready to leave school and go to another school and leave the work that I was doing and just walk away, you know, not in a bad way, but just kind of move from that to this, I was terrified. I was thinking about that young man in 1985, not really sure about who I was and what I would be and what I would become. And if you had told that young person in 1985 that I'd be a preacher one day, speaking in front of you good people, you've got to be kidding me. There's no, really? But here we are. It's important to time hop sometimes, to look back with that memory of maybe how something good and wonderful was a gift, how something powerful and profound that was helpful but led to things that were unimagined at the time. Who knew we would be here in 1965? Who knew you would be here? But here we are together with work to do, with things important and good to remember, some things we need to forget, with all of us needing to do the work. So take that memory, take that gift, that goodness of that remembrance, and spend time with God. Spend time with God, remembering how you were gifted with that. Maybe how that led to something beautiful. Maybe that's how you survived something. I don't know. It's your memory. Take that memory and give it to God and ask God to bless your next steps. Can we do that? Homework's given. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.